Our text for this evening is 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. In Scotland today, we're not used to temples. We have plenty of churches, but not temples. Churches are just places of worship. We have a building where we can come together with a measure of comfort and worship God, but we could just as easily worship in a school. And we, for example, as a church, worshipped in a school for a good number of years, and we were just as blessed in the school as we are in a church building. We're thankful to God for providing us with this building. But we don't need a church building. A church building is not holy in any special way. It's not any holier than any other building. Now the Roman Catholics, they believe that a church building is holy. And so do the Anglicans. That is their idea. They have the idea that the church is somehow or other sanctified ground. But there's no teaching in the Bible that would teach us that a church building is anything other than simply a place to worship. It's the people of God who are holy. And it's where the two or three are gathered together in His name that He promises to be present. Whether these two or three are gathered in a forest, or in a cave, or in a school, or in a home, or in a so-called church. And our fathers in the Free Church in 1843 had to, many of them, worship out in the open air, until they got new churches built for them. And you go back a little bit further to the Covenanters, and they were hounded about and persecuted from place to place. And they worshipped God wherever they could find a hiding place from the dragoons, from the soldiers. About 20 years ago, I went out to India on a mission trip to visit the mission stations we then had in India. And I and my companion spent a week in Delhi. And just round the corner from where we were staying was a temple. A very ornate building. And there was an idol there, a god, living in the temple. And there were priests. There was lots of music, lots of activity constantly, lots of noise, and people coming with offerings and garlands, bringing them to their God. I felt a terrible presence of evil there. It wasn't somewhere that I liked to be near. I wanted to get away from it. A temple, what is a temple? A temple is a place where a god lives. Now in New Testament times in Corinth, there were lots of temples. The Greeks had many gods. And so there were all these temples there in Corinth. But here we see the Apostle Paul saying, you are a temple. And that's an amazing teaching, isn't it? Your body is a temple. What does that mean? It means this, that God, the Holy Spirit, lives in you. You who are a Christian. And that's an amazing truth, that we think about it and meditate on it and let it settle down into our minds. You are a temple. You are a dwelling place of God. God Almighty lives in your heart. And it has huge implications. Well, first of all, in exploring this, I would like us to think of the fact that God has always lived in temples. God is gloriously great. And you remember when David was thinking of making a temple, and later on how it said also in the book of Isaiah, God says, "Heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is the place that you will build for me? Where is the place that will suit me? You look at this earth, this planet earth, which seems so great and so important, with all its 6 or 7 thousand million people that live on it, and what is it? It's my footstool," says God. "And the great and mighty expanse of heaven. Heaven is my throne. The earth is my footstool. Where is the temple that you will build that is suited for me?" And yet the amazing fact is that you, child of God, are His temple and His dwelling place. In the book of Revelation, John is given a vision of heaven. And he tells us that he went around through the place and he says, "I saw no temple therein." Very strange. Why did he see no temple in heaven? Surely God is a dwelling place in heaven. "But I saw no temple therein." And the reason is, of course, because it's all a temple. It's all God's dwelling place. God is so great. God is so glorious, so infinitely immense, so almighty, so incomprehensible to us. Infinite, eternal, unchangeable in His being, wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness, and truth. In the early history of the Bible, we find no temple, but we find people building altars. And that was the beginning of their worship. When they came out of the Garden of Eden, God showed them sacrifices and how they were to worship by sacrifice. And all this pointing forward to the time when Christ, the Messiah, would die on the cross. You remember how Jacob anointed the pillar where he met with God. And he said, "This is Bethel. This is the house of God and the gate of heaven." Bethel is a Hebrew word meaning house of God. God met him there. It was the house of God. But we don't find a proper temple, as it were, for the Lord until Israel are formed into a nation and come out of the land of Egypt. And then they build a tabernacle. What was a tabernacle? It was a mobile temple. For 40 years they would be wandering through the wilderness, so they had to take their temple with them. So they built a temple in the form of a tent. And God gave them very specific directions as to how it was to be made. Now, they were just slaves who had come out of the land of Egypt. They were poor, but in another sense, they weren't poor. Because when they left the land of Egypt, they were given lots of gifts by the Egyptians. The Egyptians were terrified of them and trying to persuade them to hurry up out of the land. And we're told they spoiled the Egyptians. The Egyptians giving to them gold and silver and precious stones and so on, so that they carried away a lot of spoil from Egypt. And that was used, of course, for the building of the temple, the tabernacle. And in that tabernacle was the Holy of Holies. And in the midst of the Holy of Holies, that inner chamber, was the Ark of the Covenant, the symbol of God's covenantal presence among his people. And within the Ark of the Covenant was the law of God, so important, the two tables of stone. The Ark of God is, and the law of God is so important in God's covenant, and yet over that ark was the mercy seat, the propitiation, the covering. And on that mercy seat between the cherubims, symbolically sat the presence of God. God was among them as a pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. And God's presence came down upon the tabernacle, and God came and dwelt between the cherubim on the mercy seat. It was God's dwelling among Israel, and they carried it with them from place to place through the wilderness. And then they came into the promised land, and it was there. And you can imagine over the next few hundred years how the tabernacle would begin to get shabby. And then David came along, and he built himself a palace, and he was becoming prosperous. And he desired to make a house suitable for God, a temple. But God said to him, no, you're a man who has shed much blood. And because of that, you're not allowed to make my temple. But your son, Solomon, a man of peace, he will make it. And so the temple was built by Solomon. And it was the center of Israel's worship. We sang about it in Psalm 48 there, how beautiful it was there for situation in the midst of Jerusalem, the city of the great king, and how they gathered there to worship. How beautiful it was, how acceptable. But Israel, alas, went astray, broke God's commandments, his judgment came upon them. And so Nebuchadnezzar came up to Jerusalem, laid siege, destroyed the city, destroyed the temple, carried the people away to Babylon for 70 years under God's chastisement. At the end of the 70 years, just as Jeremiah had prophesied, King Cyrus, Emperor Cyrus, arose, the Medo-Persian, overcame the Babylonians, and in the first year of his reign, he said, to the Jews, return home and build your temple again. We're told about Zerubbabel and Joshua, the son of Josedek, the priest, how they built the temple in Jerusalem once again. And that temple was further beautified by Herod the Great, just before the time of Jesus. And then you remember how Jesus was in that temple teaching and preaching, and how he prophesied that it would be destroyed, not one stone left upon another. And so it was destroyed by the Romans in AD 70 because of the way the Jews rejected Christ. Today, all that's left of it is part of the foundation wall, not part of the temple itself. Every stone of that was thrown down. But the supporting wall, the wailing wall, the western wall it is called, and the Jews, they come there to worship and to write their prayers and stick them in the holes in the rock, in between the stones in that wall. Jesus said to the Jews, destroy this temple and I will build another in 3 days. The Jews were shocked. 38 years it took to build this temple, and will you build it in 3 days? Another one. They were so proud of their temple. But Jesus spoke of the temple of his body. By destroying his body, the Jews destroyed the temple. The veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top of the bottom to the bottom. The way into the holiest of all was pulled aside, opened. The curtain was opened so that all could see into the holy place. Yes, into the holy of holies. It was no longer a holy place, and it was no longer the dwelling place of God because of the rejection of Christ. And in 3 days, Jesus built another temple. A temple made of people, of living stones. A temple built unto God, made up of stones. And these stones are you and me. The foundation of the apostles and prophets. Jesus Christ, the chief cornerstone and habitation of God through the Spirit. So collectively, the people of God are the temple of God today. We don't have an earthly temple now, but we have the people of God as the spiritual temple. So God lived in temples in days gone by. Now the second point that I would like to emphasize is that temples are glorious places. Temples are glorious places. Even the tabernacle was a very beautiful and attractive place. It was covered with, there was gold and there was silver and there were precious stones and precious purple cloth and embroidery and things that made it very beautiful and attractive. Solomon's temple, it was particularly glorious. Lined with gold. Everything was made of the very best. So beautiful. So attractive. When the second temple was built after the exile, the old people wept. They wept because it was so inferior in materials and appearance from the first temple. But God said, don't weep. The second temple will be more glorious than the first. And it was more glorious simply because the Son of God in human flesh walked in that temple, taught in that temple, and in that sense, it was glorious, more glorious than the first. That second temple was beautified by Herod. You can see models of it in Jerusalem today. Very attractive, very beautiful. The disciples, remember how they said to Jesus, come, Lord, and see the wonderful stones in the temple, the buildings, how beautiful they are. It was an attractive and glorious place. And then there's a great temple in heaven. And if the temples on earth were glorious, how much more glorious is the temple of heaven? The streets paved with gold, the gates of pearls, the foundations of precious stones, emeralds and sapphires. It's all of the very, very best. Temples are glorious places. But thirdly, you are the temple of God's Spirit. An amazing truth. Temple of God's Spirit, how can this be? There's nothing glorious in you and me, is there? Our past, how sinful, how terrible. Look at these Corinthians to whom Paul says, your bodies are the temple of the Spirit. Look at the Corinthians, what he says about them in verse 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, homosexuals, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners, shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But you are washed, but you are sanctified, but you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. Yes, you were sinners. You were amongst the worst of sinners. You were immoral. You were thieves. You were covetous. You were drunkards. You were revilers, extortioners. But you are washed. You and I, our bodies, the temple of God. And yet, really, our bodies are such filthy hovels, aren't they? Who would make a temple out of you or me? By nature, children of the devil. In a sense, by nature, temples of Satan. And yet, God elected us to be his temple. From all eternity, he chose you to be a temple, a dwelling place of his Spirit. And not only that, but God the Son came into this world and purchased you. When you're looking for a house to buy, or a site on which to build, or a property to develop you, you look for something valuable, don't you? And think of the price that Christ paid for us. You are not your own, he says here. Verse 20, you are bought with a price. What price? Silver and gold would not buy you. From the wrath of God that was determined to destroy you, the justice of God which was against you because of your sin. The deed was done, as it were. The law was out that you had to be demolished and destroyed, doomed for hell. And yet Christ purchased you with his own precious blood to be a dwelling place of God. A high price was paid. No higher price could be paid. There's no higher price in the universe, nor in heaven itself. He has called you to be his temple with an effectual call. Effectual calling, a work of God's free grace, convincing us of our sin and misery, enlightening our minds in the knowledge of Christ, renewing our wills. He doth persuade us and enable us to embrace the Lord Jesus Christ, freely offered to us in the gospel. God's effectual call, God's Holy Spirit regenerating you, recreating you, resurrecting you from the dead, transforming you, and from being a hovel to being a temple, from being a stinking hole into a beautiful place to the Lord, a place where he can live. Regeneration. We hear of the regeneration of Clydeside, and we see how some of these old buildings and old tenements and so on were pulled down, and old factories and beautiful new buildings put up in their place. But oh, the wonder of God's regeneration. Taking these filthy sinners that you and I are by nature, and making us into saints. Holy ones. And holy places. And holy dwellings for himself. We were a place of death and decay, but have been transformed by the new birth. The Spirit of God comes to live in our hearts. And we are washed and scrubbed Is that not what he says here? And such were some of you, verse 11, but you are washed, but you are sanctified, but you are justified. Justification, an act of God's free grace, wherein he pardoneth all our sins and accepteth us as righteous in his sight, only for the righteousness of Christ, imputed to us and received by faith alone. You are justified, sins pardoned, the pollution removed, purged and cleansed, scrubbed, disinfected, sanctified. And now there's the ongoing work of God beautifying his dwelling place. And one day you will be a perfect temple. I was rather taken by something that was said at a funeral yesterday. There was an old man in Skye, was buried. He had been an elder with me up in Portree. He had been a Christian for a long, long, long time. And he was a very godly man. But he had some faults, as all of us do. And the minister at the funeral said, Reverend D.N. MacLeod from Aran, he said how much he had benefited and profited as a young Christian from the friendship and fellowship of John McPherson. And then he said, but John McPherson was not a perfect Christian. But he said, he's a perfect Christian now. How true. Every one of us, imperfect temples. But when we get to heaven, the souls of believers are at their death, made perfect in holiness, and do immediately pass into glory, and their bodies being still united to Christ, to rest in the grave until the resurrection. Perfect in holiness. I was greatly moved to hear of another funeral last week too. A young girl of just 14 years of age. For the last 3 years she's been suffering with leukemia. Eventually she had gone blind. How much she suffered. Her dad said to her lately, he said to her, what if you're not going to get better? But it doesn't matter, Dad. I'm going to heaven. I'm going to be with. And there she is today, beautiful, perfect, all sickness, pain, weakness, all gone, all blindness behind her, and she sees into the face of her beloved Saviour. You are God's temple. Finally, remember that you're God's temple. Think of it practically. What does it mean to be the temple of God? Well, first, it means that you're greatly honored. I remember being shown a house in Skye where the Queen had spent 2 or 3 hours on one of her visits. And that marked out the house as special. The Queen had lived there for just 2 or 3 hours. But how wonderful that the Holy Spirit lives in your heart, not just for 2 or 3 hours, but from the moment of your conversion, forevermore. He has taken up his residence. And you are the temple of the Holy Ghost. You're not just the house in which some queen, even the Queen of Great Britain, lives, but you're the house in which the King of Kings desires to dwell. What an honor that is. Remember the status God has given you. and praise God for that status. Secondly, adorn the temple. David, for years, was gathering gold and silver and precious stones together for the temple. Solomon, the wealthiest man that ever lived, gathering together the very best of materials. Remember Bezalel, when they were building the tabernacle. The Holy Spirit of God came upon them. To do what? To build the tabernacle. To do the intricate work that was required. God's Spirit rested upon them. God's Spirit came upon prophets to prophesy. God's Spirit at times came upon kings, giving them victories over their enemies. And God's Spirit came upon Bezalel to make the tabernacle beautiful. How we should beautify the temple of God. And how do we make God's temple beautiful? By striving to live holy lives, beautiful lives, worshipping God in the beauty of holiness, rejecting all hypocrisy and pretense and sham, purging ourselves from all that's unclean, and making the temple beautiful for God. Showing our love and devotion to Him. Thirdly, being the temple of God, remember your witness. God's temple is God's presence in the world. Be what you are. Be a temple in your home, in your neighborhood, in your workplace, wherever you are, be a temple. A city set upon a hill cannot be hid. A temple is not something that you hide. It's something to reveal and to manifest and to make known the presence of God. Be consistent in your life. Be a bright witness. Be what you are. Remember, you are being watched. And remember that the unconverted watch you. And they watch for your slips. And if you slip, they love to criticize. They love to think of your hypocrisy. They love to think of you as a pretense and a failure. Remember your witness. You are the temple of God. You are God's presence there among men. Fourthly, don't desecrate the temple. I remember when I was ministering in Partick many years ago, there was a spate of criminal activity where people were breaking into churches and defiling the churches and defiling the pulpits and defiling the pulpit Bibles, putting muck and dirt and dung upon things in the churches like that. What a terrible, horrible crime. But are we putting dung upon the temple of the Lord? Are we defiling God's holy house? Keep it pure. Keep it clean. You are the temple of God. It was a great crime in ancient times, the crime of sacrilege. To rob churches or to rob temples or to defile them in any way. Beware of sacrilege. You are the temple of the Holy Ghost. and therefore don't desecrate it. Remember what the apostle says in verse 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Fornicators won't inherit the kingdom of God. Nor idolaters, nor adulterers. The effeminate, they won't inherit the kingdom of God. Those who abuse themselves with mankind, they won't inherit the kingdom of God. Thieves won't inherit the kingdom of God. Covetous people who love money and follow after it, they won't inherit the kingdom of God. Drunkards, they won't inherit the kingdom of God. Nor revilers, nor extortioners. Such were some of you, but you are washed. You've repented. You've turned your back on these things. Don't be like a pig going back to its own filth again, wallowing in the mire. You've left that behind. You've got a new nature. You're a temple, not a pig. Leave the filth behind. Don't take the Holy Spirit into the houses of wickedness. How terrible it would be to do that. Here there's particular stress laid upon fornication. There was a lot of immorality in Corinth, in Greece long ago. Just as there's a lot of immorality in our society today. Paul says, verse 16, know ye not that he which is joined to an harlot is one body? You're joined to a harlot. What are you? One body. For the two, saith he, shall be one flesh. He that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. What are we? One flesh with a harlot, one flesh in immorality and whatever it is, with whoever it is. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is outside the body. But he that committeth fornication sins against his own body. And the body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Don't sin against your own body. Beware of immorality, all uncleanness. Flee these things. Don't take the Holy Spirit into such a relationship. Don't take the Holy Spirit into the houses of wickedness. Remember, wherever you go, the Holy Spirit is going. Whatever you're doing, the Holy Spirit is there. You can never, as a Christian, get away from the Holy Spirit because you're a temple. He dwells in you. Are you defiling the Holy Spirit? Are you sinning? With the Holy Spirit there in your heart and your body? Sixthly, keep the gates of the temple. Keep the gates of the temple because Satan is wanting to get in. There's the eye gate. What you see. Whatever it might be. Things that you shouldn't be watching. Television, or on the internet, or films, pornography, whatever. Ear gate, hearing things that you shouldn't be hearing. Music, or blasphemy, or slander, whatever it might be. Are you letting that in to the temple of the Lord? Are you letting the devil in through these things? Remember, Satan wants to get in, and he wants to spoil and to destroy. Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit which is in you? And finally, because your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, a temple is a place of worship. Always be worshiping God. Pray without ceasing. Always be praying. In everything give thanks. Always giving thanks. Always praising. Always worshipping. Always glorifying. Glorifying God and enjoying Him with forever. You are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. They don't belong to you. They belong to God. God has taken you over. You have given your heart to God. You have given your body to God. You are the temple of God. Be different. Be different. Be holy. Be always worshipping. And keep yourself pure. But maybe you're not the temple of the Holy Spirit. Maybe you're still the temple of the devil. How terrible. We're either possessed by the one or the other. God in us or Satan in us. Who lives in your heart? Seek the Lord. Seek to have the Lord living in you. So that when you die, you will go to be with the Lord in heaven. If it's a devil that's living in you, when you die, you'll go to be with him in hell.